From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 14th day of July, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Stephen Platt will join us from Archer Financial Services out of Chicago to take up the agricultural energies. We'll update the weekly crop progress report released by the United States Department of Agriculture yesterday afternoon, and get a look at the crops in Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. And naturally, we'll take a quick look at the weather forecast, too, all here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Corn futures in Chicago finished narrowly mixed. July corn up 3/4 at 334 3/4. December down 2 3/4 at 333 3/4. And March futures off 3 at 344.5 of the day. Next year's May down 2 1/4 at 351 3/4 of a cent. Soybeans July contract up 5 3/4 at $8.82 1/4. November at 877.5, 2 1/4 higher. And January beans 2 higher for the day. 883 1/4 the settlement price. The March there at 880.5, up 2 1/4 cents. The bean oil futures 51 cents higher at 28.48, and the bean meal at 283.70, up 60 cents for a ton. Wheat futures July contract unchanged, 524 3/4. That's the new crop harvest month for the soft red. And the hard red July at 438 1/4, down 2 cents for the afternoon. Live cattle futures are 85 cents lower at $98.80 as they finished up for the day in the August. Feeders at 32.5 cents lower, 136.72.5 the settlement price. And lean hogs at $46.80 per 100 pounds, up 12.5. And the July, August, however, down $1.35 at $49.92.5. Crude oil up 15 cents. Ethanol futures down 9.7. And heating oil or diesel fuel just about unchanged. Gasoline on the RBOB at $1.24.7, around 2 6/10 of a cent lower. The Dow is around 400 points higher. The dollar is down 0.247. And gold is unchanged at $1,811. We're now joined by John Hester. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. I take it that Wayne Nelson is out of the office for the day.
Yeah, he had to make a little road trip to the doctor today. So.
Well, we all do on occasion. I made my little road trip to the doctor yesterday, so that happens.
Well, I got to go tomorrow, so.
Well, there you go. I guess we're all of that age, aren't we?
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, so what happened in Chicago today? Corn finished lower and beans a bit higher.
Yeah, I think, they announced the corn sale to China this morning. I think about the third largest ever, third or fourth. And, the weather's so good and they're forecasting rain and cooler temps and probably 50%, 40 to 50% corn's going to be pollinating in this cool weather. And they're forecasting quite a bit of rain coming through in the next 3 or 4 days. So I think the weather forecast took care of the China bean sale, and they bounced a little bit to start with, and then they just gradually got weaker all day.
So China was in for a lot of corn today. That was a big sale, as you suggested, one of the top five in U.S. history. The marketplace looking at it and saying, yeah, we don't care so much because there's a lot of corn around, and it looks like there's going to be a lot more corn around. Beans, on the other hand, along with wheat, both managed to gain a little bit for the day. What happened there?
I think in the wheat particularly, it was just the Black Sea wheat crop's not near as good as they thought it was going to be, and I think that gave the wheat a pretty good boost. And they said the farmers are holding pretty tight to what wheat they've got in that area. So that's a plus for the wheat market. In the beans, I think they just took them down too long, and everybody's waiting on. A lot of it is the August weather and the beans. That's where the bean crop is really made. To see what kind of weather we have in the beans, and they're putting a little premium back in the beans right now.
Speaking of the crop, what's the condition of both corn and soybeans like around your area there near Crawfordsville, Indiana?
They look really good. I don't know if they're record crops, but they're going to be as good as the APH, if not better. I mean, I'd say we're 75% pollinating right now in the corn, and beans are about knee-high and full of bloom and putting on some little pods, so we're in pretty good shape. Got plenty of moisture.
Yeah. Are farmers bemoaning the cash corn sales that they did not make last week on old crop?
I think so.
What do they do now?
A lot of people around here, I don't know how much old corn's left in the country right around here, because we had good corn bids 2 months ago when the ethanol plant was running good up there. They were paying 25 and 30 over, and a lot of people moved their corn then. So I'm not sure there's a lot of old corn left, but most of the guys that I know real well, they have not sold any new corn. Crop or very little. They were kind of waiting on 375 basis piece.
Yeah, that looks like a long wait today.
It sure does. I'm not sure we're going to get there, but I guess there's always a chance.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time with me today.
All right, you take care of yourselves over there.
Oh, we will. That's John Hester, of course. He's with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Just one quick agricultural news item today. This comes from the FarmDoc Daily website, where University of Illinois agricultural economist Gary Schnitkin has penned an article and posted it today on Illinois grain farm incomes in 2020 in the post-COVID era. Schnitkin says that he adjusted the budgets to reflect a 320 cash price for corn rather than 390, and an 860 cash price for soybeans rather than $9, and that dropped the average income on a 1,600-acre grain farm in the state to a very substantial negative for the year.
Just to give you a feel, that minus $25,000 net income, over the last couple years, we had $147,000 income in 2018, a $74,000 in 2019. So we're below those two incomes for 2020, and we would have been below those likely without COVID, but with COVID, we have some pretty large losses.
You may learn more about post-COVID-19 incomes on Illinois grain farms on the FarmDoc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. And that's a quick look at today's Ag News. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It showed 29% of the corn crop around the nation had silked. The five-year average is 32%. 3% of the crop is in the dough stage, and that's equal with the 3% rolling five-year average for corn as well. A quick look at the condition of the crop, 23% in fair condition, 52% good, and 17% excellent. Those numbers were 54% good and 17% last week, so it's not in quite as good a shape this week as it was last, and the numbers are actually going up in the bottom two categories, very poor and poor across the nation. Soybeans blooming at this point around the nation, 48%. That's ahead of the rolling five-year average of 40%. 11% have set pods. The five-year average there is 10%, and the condition of the crop is 54% good and 14% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 57% and 14. And as was the case with corn, it's the bottom actually three categories that's gone up this week, with the poor condition up from 4% to 5% and very poor up from 1% to 2%. Checking in on the winter wheat, 68% of the crop has been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 66%. A quick look at how things are progressing in the state of Illinois, according to USDA NAS. 5.8 days were suitable for field work last week in the state. The average temperature was 79.3 degrees. That's 3.1 degrees above normal. Precipitation was 0.18 inches above normal at just right under an inch across the state on average. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 5% very short, 23% short, and 68% adequate across the state. Subsoil moisture rated 5% very short, 18% short, and 17% adequate. Corn silking in the state of Illinois was at 36% as of Sunday, compared to the five-year average of 52%. Corn dough was at 1%. That's even with the five-year average. The condition of the crop rated 3% very poor, 6% poor, 30% fair, 40% good, and 15% excellent. Soybeans blooming 37% compared to the five-year average of 40% across Illinois. Soybean setting pods at 10% compared to the five-year average of 11%. Soybean condition was rated 44% good and 15% excellent. Wheat harvest at 89% complete compared to the rolling five-year average in Illinois of 91%. Now, here are the statisticians from Iowa, Minnesota, and this week we'll throw in Missouri.
This is Melissa Couch, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Upper Midwest Regional Field Office. In spite of spotty showers, Iowa farmers had 5.7 days suitable for field work. Field work activities included spraying and harvesting hay. Topsoil moisture levels rated 5% very short, 22% short, 70% adequate, and 3% surplus. Corn silking or beyond reached 35%, 8 days ahead of the previous year and 2 days ahead of the five-year average. There were scattered reports of corn reaching the dough stage. Corn condition rated 83% good to excellent. Soybean blooming reached 58%, 2 weeks ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Soybean setting pods reached 10%, 2 weeks ahead of last year and 2 days ahead of average. Soybean condition rated 83% good to excellent. Oats turning color reached 73%, 8 days ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the average. There were reports of some oats being harvested for grain. Pasture condition rated 65% good to excellent. There were reports of heat stress and increased insect populations affecting livestock. For the USDA NASS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Melissa Couch.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office. Warm temperatures boosted crop development during the week. There were 4.8 days suitable for field work for the second week in a row. There were reports of crop damage in the west central part of the state caused by high winds and hail. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 2% very short, 7% short, 76% adequate, and 15% surplus. Silked corn at 21% was 2 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn condition remained at 85% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 67% this week, that's 16 days ahead of last year and 9 days ahead of normal. Soybean setting pods reached 10%, that's 12 days ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of the average. Soybean condition remained at 83% good to excellent. Pasture conditions remained at 62% good to excellent. For the USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Bob Guarino with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Missouri saw warmer than average temperatures and very little rainfall last week. Winter wheat harvest was nearly complete. Over half of corn was in the silking stage, and over a third of soybeans were blooming. The average temperature statewide was 79.9 degrees, 1.9 degrees above normal. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.12 inches, 0.7 inches below normal. Only a few isolated areas of the state saw more than a half inch of rain. On average, 6.6 days were suitable for field work compared to 4.6 days the previous week. Topsoil moisture supply in Missouri was rated 6% very short, 34% short, 55% adequate, and 5% surplus. 59% of corn was in the silking stage, 6 points behind the five-year average for this time of year. Corn condition was rated 0% very poor, 4% poor, 25% fair, 54% good, and 17% excellent. Soybeans were 96% emerged, 8 points ahead of average. 35% of soybeans were blooming, also 8 points ahead of average. 11% of soybeans were setting pods, 6 points ahead of average. Soybean condition was rated 1% very poor, 4% poor, 30% fair, 57% good, and 8% excellent. Winter wheat was 95% harvested, 2 points ahead of average. The second cutting of alfalfa hay was 74% finished, 10 points ahead of average. Hay supply was 95% adequate to surplus, Stock water supplies are 93% adequate to surplus. This is Bob Guarino with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians each week for their updates of crop progress across the nation during the growing season. On this Tuesday, let's take a look at the weather forecast on days out of the office. I'll travel with you across the Midwest. We'll start in Nebraska, in Kearney, where today they'll go to 76 for a high. The overnight low was 66. Tomorrow it'll be 80 degrees, maybe a little rainfall, 59 for the low on Wednesday evening. And Thursday, the high will be 88, the low 58. Friday, 91 degrees for the high and the low 69. Then they start to heat up. They have a high of 98 on Saturday and 97 on Sunday. The lows those 2 days, 72 and 74 degrees. Moving northward to Fargo, North Dakota, 80 degrees for the high today. Tomorrow, 85, 86, and then 90 by the time we get to Friday. The lows will be in the mid-50s to the low 60s through that time frame. They'll go to 86. 6 on Saturday and 78 on Sunday, with lows in the 60s on both of those days. In Des Moines, Iowa, the high today, 90 degrees. Overnight lows, 66, 60, and 64. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 78, 84, and 87 for those 3 days. They'll get to 93 on Saturday and 91 on Sunday and Monday. The lows on those 3 days, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday in Des Moines, will be in the mid to lower 70s. And in Peoria, Illinois, as we make our way across the Corn Belt, 88 for the high today. Tomorrow, 82, maybe a little rainfall, 81 on Thursday, 86 on Friday. Saturday, 94, Sunday, 95, and Monday, 93 degrees. The lows those 3 days are in the mid to upper 70s, by the way. And finally, we'll stop in South Bend, Indiana, up on the border with Michigan. The overnight low tonight, 64 degrees, the 87 degree high today. That'll be the same as tomorrow. 80 degrees on Thursday with a low of 65. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they'll be at 86, 92, and 93, with lows at 69, 74, and 75. And that's a look at the Corn Belt weather. It's a Tuesday, and we always check in on the agricultural energies. This week, we're joined by Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services in Chicago. Hey, Steve, thanks for being with us. Like me, you're still working out of your home, I take it.
That's right. In Crystal Lake, and fine with it for now.
I hear you. I do not have a problem working out of home. I've even taken to calling the studio here Spring Creek One. So that's all right with me. Let's do talk about the agricultural and energy segments for just a bit. What's changed with crude oil and energy since we talked last month?
I guess the biggest surprise with crude oil, at least, is that it hasn't changed much. The market's been in a pretty narrow trading range here since really the beginning of June, and has held that area, trying to assess the prospects for the demand side and supply side as we move into the second half of this year. We did get the OPEC monthly report today, which was enlightening in terms of giving some base in which we might be looking at demand. They are constructive toward demand going into the next year. Certainly, we have seen with the easing of lockdowns some support to values, but at the on the other side, the renewed fears of infections rising in certain areas, particularly in the U.S., that has raised some caution flags in terms of the market. Today, we did have some supply, I guess, anticipation going into a key OPEC meeting going on tomorrow That is the Price Monitoring Committee meeting where they look at the supply and demand prospects and try to coordinate among their producers in which they can moderate their production levels in which to try to rebalance the market. They have been somewhat successful going into the second half, and we should see underpinning for the market here as we move through, with Iraq indicating they will be trying to make up for some of their overproduction over the past couple months. At this juncture, the market probably will be pretty much in a trading range until we get a better indication on how economic forces develop into the following year.
As you look forward into the fall, do you see usage in the energy segment continuing to be sustained at the current levels? Do you think it will rise? Is there any indication that it will begin to tighten up?
Maybe you can tell me on how many children go back to school going into the fall. I think that will be a key variable. Certainly, the number of commuters has changed in terms of moving to the cities, and that certainly is going to have an impact on the demand side. I think we're basically looking at oil demand possibly declining this year overall by 8.9 million barrels. But as we move into next year, they're looking at an increase of 7 million barrels per day. So net, between this year's decline and next year's anticipated increase, demand is pretty much going to be generally flat to lower, and that certainly is a factor to consider in terms of OPEC and OPEC supply discipline.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with me today. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services and helps us to wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand whenever you'd like. You can do that at willag.org. Just click and play right out of the website. Both the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, other programming as well. Or you can find us online. Listen to us on demand in one of your favorite podcast applications. Among those are Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, even the NPR One app. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.